Hi once again, and we're pleased to have you with this Bible study program. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we again thank you for this time together. We just ask that you would lead us as we look through this week, as we go through our daily responsibilities. We think of those that are on their job even now. We think of those that are living in nursing homes. We think of this, the day-to-day situation, those that are housewives at home with their children, and all those that have these things before them that they are looking for you for guidance and for strength. We pray, Father, that you'd lead us in the study of thy word. We thank you again for Jeff and Mark, all those that are willing to be a part of this radio program. We just ask for your guidance in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look again at the first few verses, as yesterday we were giving a background of chapter 4 being the chapter about doctrine, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine is what we'd like to emphasize. Yesterday and today we are zooming in on the first five verses, which tells us of the bad doctrine, to compare that with what the rest of the chapter has to say with good doctrine. Now yesterday is we would just remind you, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now today, let's look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry is an example of this, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now let's just look a little bit at some of these words. We find in verse 2, the question, as yesterday was mentioned, that ones would speak in hypocrisies and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Verse 3 then brings us to the very subject of what they would promote. Two things are mentioned here as examples of what false teachers may promote. We see one, they would forbid to marry. Now, when we look at these two things, we can think of one in different areas of what we call the religious world that apply this. We think of forbidding to marry. We think of that group, the Christian Science. The founder of that group was a lady, and she had some negative things to say about marriage. I believe she's married herself three times. And, of course, there's some other very poor doctrine in the background of that movement. But we see also Roman Catholicism, which instead of holding to being justified by faith, they promote being justified by works first, which we know that's the incorrect order. We're justified by faith. Then we know that one will see that we have fruit. Then justification by works come in. But we cannot get to heaven by any way other than being justified by faith. Well, anyway, among that group, they have held to the fact that they tell their leaders, their what they call their priests, not to marry. So we see that it's applied there in that religious group as well. When we come down to the fact of one's abstaining from meat, well, we go to something out of Christianity, for an example, such as Hinduism. We see how they would rather worship those animals rather than take them for food. We see how they worship cows and such as that. We see how that nation is a large nation. The second most populated nation is India in this world. Over 1 billion people, I believe. Yet they are one of the more poverty-stricken nations in this world. They have enough resources to where they could be a productive nation, I understand. But what they do is, because of the tremendous false religion of worshiping these animals instead of taking them with thanksgiving as God tells us to do and using them for food, we see how they have rats and monkeys and cows many times worship, and they will not take care of these animals and control them and use such as the cows for meat. For they would rather worship a cow walking down the street and see a man sitting along the side of the street and say that, well, that was just his karma, or however they put it. He just happened to be in a life where he has to suffer. They wouldn't dare use that cow to feed that man. And we see the New Age movement that has moved into the United States and in Europe is nothing more than repackaged Hinduism, trying to teach the false teachings, and this is even seeping into Christianity, my friend, so there is an application here. The New Age movement is seeping into Christianity. We see how they apply reincarnation, which is a false doctrine. Instead of saying, oh, this man on the street is in poverty and someone needs to help this man, they say, oh, well, he must be reincarnated from a bad life, so he must suffer. He just deserves it. See the false teaching? That's why India is in poverty, because of the Hindu religion. And we see today of how the New Age religion is here in America, of ones that would say the power is in us and that we will be like God. We can move toward that. That is the false teaching, the false lie that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan deceived Eve and she took of the fruit. She was lied to by Satan. He misquoted the only scripture that they had at that point. He misapplied it. And she was deceived. The same old lie is part of the foundation of the New Age false teaching. We know there are people in Hollywood that have jumped all over this, saying, I am God. I am God. And you've probably heard of some of the well-known people over there. I don't keep up with that society myself, but you hear about these people that have fallen for the New Age movement. And we know that instead of being in a religion that tells us to abstain from meats and to forbid to marry, that we have the true God, the living God, the one who ordained marriage, the one who has given us meat for our food. And as we think about that, let's just back up and clarify that in the Word of God. Genesis, if we were to turn over to Genesis chapter 9, we would see over there in verse 3, this is after Noah and those that were on the ark come off of the ark. And we see here, after the world had been destroyed, those that did not heed to the warning of God through Noah, it was Noah, his three sons and their four wives, eight people on the ark. But here in chapter 9 of Genesis, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, right here we see the Word of God telling to replenish, but the point I wanted to make is down here in verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So we see here that God tells them that they can use all things for their meat. Now we see here the things that are given as of food, things that we know are healthy to the body. We're told to receive it with thanksgiving. Now we could also back up to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis, the seed book, the seed of the book of beginnings, we could call it, chapter 2, back in the garden, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God has ordained the unity of man and woman, what we call marriage today. The New Testament will talk about marriage and how God looks at that. We see how he says for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we see how the woman is to respect and to submit to her own husband, the scripture says. So we see that marriage from Genesis on through the New Testament is mentioned in a glorious way. Even at the end of the New Testament in Revelation, where it's speaking in a great application to those of us that are in the body of Christ. We are his children. We are called the bride of Christ. And Christ himself is the bridegroom. And it says that one day there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We that are in the body of Christ will then be there at that great marriage supper. So we see how he uses marriage in a great way throughout the Word of God. God has ordained it. So when one try to tell us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, those in latter times that some should apart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with hot iron, they will, in verse 3, forbid to marry and command to abstain from meat. We see here that the Word of God sanctifies, sets apart these two things. The Word of God has set apart that we are one man and one woman. It's God's ordained way, and it is set apart from God by his word, and that meats are acceptable with thanksgiving for us to be taken and for us to receive. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you bow your head there, if you and your family are there and you know the Lord and you give thanks for the food, and I've been in the presence of one before in a large restaurant. As we bowed our heads and he gave thanks to food, he said, Lord, we thank you for all the food that's being consumed in this place of all those who have not given thanks. Oh, that was an attitude of being grateful and truly thankful. He knew there was dozens of people around us who did not take the time to bow their head and thank the Creator in heaven, the one who has sent his Son to save us and to bring us into a relationship where we would be with him for eternity. Yet, people don't even take the time because they don't have the relationship and they're not grateful for that one that created them. And he gave thanks for everything that was in there. It just touched me as an attitude of being grateful, being thankful. And it wasn't just a ritual of some little quick little prayer, but he really seemed to mean what he said, giving thanks for that meal that was before us. Now, as we go on, our time is already up, but we'd like to spend a little more time on this subject tomorrow, Lord willing, as we move into the section of good doctrine. Good doctrine. For Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, this is Mike Moody, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. We'd mention as well that if anyone's interested in Bible school in the Ramsar area, we could point you to one that's in mid-August. So just give us a call. It's 824-5525, or write us if you have a question, a comment about the Word of God or anything that you heard at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsar, North Carolina.